Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Listening to Dawn's show, you know that we have Al Schmidt on, and Guy Shiraki checked in and told us the Shore system, the system that, just as it says, is linked up. Well, we'll get the full definition on that in a moment, that when you early vote mail-in ballot, that everything is going to be kosher. Not like that ice cream truck of Montgomery County headed to the prison tomorrow, which isn't linked to any Shore system. We'll have the update from a federal judge on that case a little bit later. But right now, we have Chester County Commissioner Eric Rowe, who is in the center of the action, and we hear that the system has now been restored. Chairman Rowe, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Dom. Thanks for having me.
So the system has been restored.
That's correct. So for a little over an hour, the Shore system was down. It was sporadic there for some counties and not others for just a few minutes, but then it went down for everybody. But I am pleased to tell you that it is back up and running again.
What is that? We use the term SHORE, obviously that an acronym for a reason. What's the SHORE system?
So the Pennsylvania SHORE system is essentially the state's voter service software. It's the State Uniform Directory of Electors. So that's what SHORE stands for, but it's used for a lot of things. You can check your mail-in ballot on there, but that's, it's the state's operating system for our elections. It's kind of antiquated, though. I'm not going to lie. It's not as advanced as a lot of county operating systems.
So if this went down on Election Day, let's play that out first. What would happen? I have Al Schmidt on today, Commissioner. You might have a question for him, by the way, but I have over 50 here. Because last time we had him on, it brought up a lot of questions. What happens if that would go down on Election Day?
So the SHORE system is used for a lot of different things. But on Election Day, when you're voting in person, say you've got your ballot in hand at your traditional in-person polling precinct, The SHORE system isn't used for that, for that instance. The way it's being used right now for quote-unquote early voting is you've got voters coming in person to their voter services office or a satellite office, and they're actually being asked to show ID to prove that they are who they say they are to get their individual ballot. And their information goes into the system, the SHORE system, which spits out their individualized ballot that's then printed off and handed to them to vote on and return right there in person. When you're voting in person, it doesn't work that way. You know that that ballot that you're voting on is your ballot, and everybody else in your precinct gets that exact ballot. So I don't think it would be quite as chaotic on Election Day, although it would certainly be harmful in other ways, especially for our voter services departments who do need the SHORE system up and running on Election Day itself.
So, Eric, we've spoken before. I'm not a conspiracy guy, I leave that to one of my producers here. But do we know what the cause of this is? And is the investigation underway? Is there going to be just a blip on the screen? I hope there's going to be a full investigation of this.
So I'm told that there were network provider outages that impacted the connections for the statewide SHORE system. So I suppose my request to Secretary Schmidt is, why don't we update this, right? I've heard it compared to I've heard the SHORE system compared to using a dollar store calculator versus a Texas Instruments fancy big calculus calculator, right? I mean, we really do need to upgrade this. Pennsylvania is, there's no good reason that we should have an outdated, antiquated voting system statewide. We really can and probably should do better. especially now that both parties are embracing mail-in ballots more and more, you know, because this early voting is really a product of the mail-in ballot process. Like, when you go into your voter services office and you want to vote early, that's all actually through mail-in ballots. You're applying then and there for a mail-in ballot with your ID and getting a mail-in ballot. So, you know, we really do need an updated system that reflects this newer need, you know, that our voters want to participate in this way.
I'm putting that at near the top of my list, Commissioner Eric, to ask Al Schmidt about that, to get him on board. Yeah, look, people are willing to spend on the right things, and this is one of those. I just got a text from Scott Presler, who's listening, the unbelievable voter registration guy across Pennsylvania. And he says to inform, and I'm going to ask you something about this, Mr. Schmidt, Al Schmidt, the secretary. He predicts a massive amount of people are going to vote early in person Monday and Tuesday. That's when they're going to get that done with the mail-in ballot. What can you tell us out in Chester County? Is there a provision, you know, because we had this shutdown today, how long are you open on Monday and Tuesday, for example?
So, you know, our voter services office is open from, you know, 8:30 in the morning until 4:30 every day. I believe that the hours may be a little bit different. I can pull up those exact details for you in just a moment, but you know, we do encourage it. I personally encourage it. I love the idea that someone would have to show an ID to vote. I think that's a good idea.
Yes, exactly right.
But you know, like I said, we're encouraging this now, and our systems need to reflect, you know, that those new voting trends. I'm speaking as a Republican, right? I heard a friend of mine say this yesterday, and I think he's right. It's just a simple math problem. The more people who vote early, the better, right? The party that votes for, you know, 30, 40, 50 days is always going to beat the party that votes for just 13 hours on election day. So we got to get people active and engaged early on. But I will tell you, in Chester County, so we had this little blip this morning, okay? We have a great voter services team that really takes customer service really, really seriously. You know, our voter services director went out into the hallways and personally greeted the voters and said, "We're so sorry the short system is down, but we're still going to, you know, take down your information. We're still going to have you apply for this on paper. We're going to get this processed for you. We can put it in the mail to you if you want. We can hold it for you and have you come back. We're, you know, we're committed to helping you vote this way. We're sorry about this, but we're going to get this taken care of." And now that it's back up and running, they are off to the races getting those voters who were delayed their ballots. And so I got to hand it to our voter services.
Well, look, I'm glad you came on to commend it. That's exactly what we want. That's the exact way this should be, because I know it can take a little time when you vote. You come in, ID and the whole thing and all. Now they're cutting the red tape of that. That's exactly right. And yet we're still identifying the voters. We can do it. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Dom.
Yeah, any updates on anything related to voting at all, please just tell our guys and we'll get you back on.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Dom.
Thanks, Commissioner Eric Rowe out there in Chester County. We'll talk with Al Schmidt at 1 o'clock today. Scott Presler already. If I get one more text from one more person, how'd you get Al Schmidt? Whoa, what do you mean Al Schmidt's coming on? It's like we have the Pope on at 1 o'clock. And what a day to have him when the SURE system goes down. Now, on election day, you heard what he said. It could affect things in a lot of ways. This is exactly what we don't want. You heard what he's told is the cause. We'll see what the Secretary of State, he may have broader knowledge on that at 1 o'clock. All right, 855-839-1210. We got a great side question, but I want to go after a guy who is just a creep. He is the Mediaite calls him the resistance hero. That would be the, I'm not sure if he's the former or current husband still of Kellyanne Conway. That would be Georgie Conway. So it's one thing to be leading the charges on General Kelly and the allegations that you know about that are out there. Okay, that's one thing. But he takes to Twitter to go after the family, which is still supportive of the woman who was killed in service to the country, Mexican-American woman who was killed. The family says, I don't appreciate how people are exploiting my sister's death for politics, hurtful and disrespectful to the important changes made for service members. President Donald Trump did nothing but show respect to my family and Vanessa. In fact, I voted for President Trump yesterday. And then George Conway jumps in. Instead of a long preamble of the sadness over her death, service to the country. No. Not with Georgie Conway, because it was Trump hatred. Georgie says, no one is exploiting your sister's death here. This isn't about her. It's about Trump's sociopathic behavior. Now, here's the money quote. He displays it publicly and privately, and his contempt for anyone else's lives, including those of men and women in uniform who made the ultimate sacrifice, is apparent, says Georgie, to anyone who chooses, unlike you, to open their eyes. Now, what kind of creep is going after a family in mourning in this manner? You know, isn't that a place where, look, well, we got to get at them. They're helping Trump here. We got to chip away at this. Maybe there are certain people you can't. Maybe they see it that way. Maybe that's their experience with Trump. And you're going to tell them, it's apparent to anyone who chooses, unlike you, to open their eyes. You little creep. Right there, in this sort of tactic, it should undercut what's going on here. Now, General Kelly, I give wide berth to because of his service to the country, etc. But there's a guy named Nick Ayers we're trying to get on, who was the chief of staff for Vice President Pence and was often with General Kelly, who was Trump's chief of staff and Trump. And he says he sees no evidence of anything like this going on here, some of the charges that General Kelly has brought forward. And rather than talking about it, I thought Trump was Hitler. Now, Anderson Cooper asked the wrong question last night. I don't think it was intentional agenda in Delco. I think it was just more incompetence here. He doesn't see it my way. He asked, is Trump a fascist? All right. Here is Kamala Harris's response. And then I'll tell you what the better question would be to allow no wiggle room. Here is the vice president when asked, is President Trump a fascist? Cut six.
He who has openly admired dictators said he would be a dictator on day one. The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has said he is a fascist to the core. So I think that when the American people reflect, especially those who are undecided, on who you should listen to, don't take my word for it. In fact, go online and listen to John Kelly, his voice, talking about what he thinks of Donald Trump 2 weeks before the election. Because I think we all know, to your point, Anderson, it is close, but there are undecided voters who clearly, by being here, have an open mind, want to talk in a way that is about, grounded in issues and fact. And when they hear these facts, I think it compels a lot of people to be concerned about the future of our country with Donald Trump at the lead.
You've quoted General Milley calling Donald Trump a fascist. You yourself have not used that word to describe him. Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do. And I also believe that the people who know him best on this subject should be trusted. Again, look at their careers. These are not people, with the exception, I think, of only Mike Pence. These were not politicians. These are career people who have served in the highest roles in national security, who have served as generals in our military, who are highly respected. Talking about the person who would be commander-in-chief.
Okay, so here's what I would have then followed up with. Yeah, we established he's saying fascist, but people are throwing words around. It gives her some wiggle room there to be calling him a fascist without going for what they're really telling you he is. And Anderson Cooper could have phrased it in any way that he wanted. So you're saying he would be like Hitler. This is potentially a Hitler overthrowing our system. I'd like to hear the answer to that. Because then the next follow-up is, even with the fascist comment, which is a little bit broader, loosey-goosey here, of what we're talking about. First of all, by any standard definition, Trump is not a fascist. That means government-run industry. He's a capitalist. That knocks that out of the box. But I would have followed up with that. Then I would have said, realize what we're talking about here. We've had two assassination attempts, and people are thinking, yes, I have to take out Hitler before Hitler can get rolling here. So do you want to go on record saying that? In other words, make the point what this means. It's not just winning an election, what this causes by making this argument. I would have gone with that rather than fascist. Which people go, what does that? You got to say what the word is. You want to say Mussolini, say Mussolini. You want to say Hitler, say Hitler. Don't say fascist, which everybody in the world throws around, usually almost always on conservatives. All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board here with Dom Giordano. Coming up, more of your calls at 855-839-1210. Let me give you the side question here. The side question today is Nancy Grace's birthday. So Dan is not a fan. So we're looking for somebody. You don't want to hear anything more from them. Now, try not to be political. Somebody who you wish you wouldn't hear again with a platform that you have to hear and all that type of stuff. All right, so Sonny Hostin is mine, and Nick Sirianni is another. I wish you'd just coach again. I can't stand to hear this guy talk. It's just, it's one of those things. So don't make it just political. Meaning, it could be the syntax. It could be the accent. It could be something like that. Henry, how about yours?
Yeah, it's not that this guy necessarily talks a lot, okay, but he seems to always be in the sports news cycle, yes, this time every year, and that is former Sixer Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, this guy every year, it's like, this is the year Ben Simmons is going to be back. And you know what? He never is. He never is. And you know what? He might be this year. You know why? It's a contract year.
Right.
He has to get another 5-year contract so he can sit out the first 4 years of it. That nerve impingement in his back's going to act up as soon as he becomes an all-star again this year.
All right. So that's the side question here. We're rolling with the Conway comments. And you heard about the Shore system. 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all I need you to do is push #1210. All right, Dom Giordano show. Al Schmidt here at 1 o'clock. Everybody in the universe of voting is texting me stuff for him, and we'll get a couple of his concerns. What a day to have him on, though, with this Shore system going down. Also, the ice cream truck has gone national now. I've told a number of people, you'll be seeing it on national news, saying, what? They're taking a truck configured like an ice cream truck, and they're going to a prison to get prisoner votes? Yeah, unless they're stopped. It's in court, and we'll have an update on that for you from Wally Zimmelong, our attorney. That's ongoing. And what the world is wrong with people in Montgomery County? I mean, how much farther can you go with this guy? By the way, I'm going to talk to Al Schmidt about this, too, on election night. And we're going to have coverage on election night. But what they believe we're going to see is we might see, because of better counting this time, the blue vote, the Democrat vote, with the mail-in ballot and, you know, voting on election day, more prominent. Then after a few hours of that, we're going to see the pivot toward the red because of the election day and also the mail-in ballots that are red. And then we're going to see a pivot back to blue based upon some late returning stuff. So the guy out of Montgomery County thinks, the commissioner with the ice cream truck, that they'll have theirs done sometime mid-afternoon or something like that, he said at the Inquirer, on Wednesday. There are starting to be projections that this shouldn't take longer than a day. That's my hope, because the longer it goes on, you know what that means, the more trouble. the more stuff, like we just had this shore system go down right in the middle of it. Was it just caused by network connections? It's a bit antiquated. Or are there actors trying to throw apart our election system in key counties? What are we doing to prevent it? You'll get that with Al Schmidt. Now, here is an all-time meltdown today. This is wild. We know the hatred of Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough for Trump. It's second to none. Here is Mika, though, saying that Trump and Trump policies are killing women. Not only they can't get abortions, but then you have women saying, I can't have a baby if Trump is president. What kind of world bringing them into the world stuff? This is how intense this irrationality is. Here's Mika.
Important as Trump's fascism is, and is the lead story every day, his cozying up to dictators, his obsession with Hitler that has now come out, what he has said about our veterans, and what he wants to do with the military against his political adversaries, it's all huge news. This is the future that we're looking at in the next Trump term, if there is one. But this is what voters know right now, that he is killing us. I'm talking about us women. He's killing us.
What?
He is putting us at risk. He is making us afraid to have babies. He is putting our reproductive health at risk. And some women have died already because of this. So we can see right now what's coming. These headlines, and very good reporting, by the way, that shouldn't be questioned by idiots about what Trump has said about Hitler. That's incredibly important to know. But I do understand that people who are busy and that are people who are just tapping in may not be able to comprehend, because we've been free. We've been comfortable. We cannot comprehend that. And I understand that. I validate that it is hard to go from here to there. It is where we're going. I hope we don't find out the hard way. But what's happening with women right now is real, and it is playing out across America.
So not only is Trump Hitler, a fascist Mussolini, he's killing women now. So once again, how many more assassination attempts do we need to hear? How much more do we see before they stop it? They don't care for two reasons. They want to defeat him, and they don't really care if someone seemingly is taking a shot at him. They don't care about either opportunity here. They just want to stop him at all costs. So he's killing women right now. And he's on his road to being Hitler. Well, is there anybody out there brave enough to save the world, to save women now with Mika Brzezinski? That's how wild this gets. That's how far this has gone. By the way, this is Cut 12, Henry. Here is Mark Esper, former, I don't know if he was acting or he was Secretary of Defense, who didn't get along with Trump and was eventually fired. But here's what Mark Esper says about this whole thing with General Kelly.
Were there ever any incidents, Secretary, that you have not previously spoken about in which you heard Donald Trump use similar language or refer to American military personnel in a derogatory fashion?
No, not along the lines that John Kelly and others have outlined.
All right. So, no, he is not seeing it in the manner of General Kelly. Now, I don't know if General Kelly is going to go on TV, if we're going to go back and forth with him or not. All that I know is guys like George Conway. I read you what he put up on Twitter, going after the family, basically saying they're stupid. Can't you see what's going on here with him? How dare you say you've had a good relationship with Trump and how he treated you and the memory of your loved one? Wow. They are going to get more deranged every second over the next 10 days or so and beyond. All right, phone lines to get in are 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All that you have to do is push #1210. Today's side question is an easy one. All right, Nancy Grace's birthday. That always starts Dan up. Somebody that you'd rather not hear from again. You'd rather not hear any public statement, no platform. They're not out there. Look, don't call with Nancy Pelosi, and we're taking all those off the board. Don't come up with the tired ones. Give us a little pizzazz with your answer with this. And again, I get it. Here's one. This is Cut 17, Henry, to illustrate. Here's a new contender, Representative Mickey Sherrill. She is in Jersey. Here she is again, pushing the idea that Trump will turn America into a dictatorship by bringing up, wait for it, Charlottesville.
Do you think Donald Trump fits the definition of a fascist? Do you think the label matters?
You know, sure, I think he fits the definition, but I don't think it matters. I think what matters to people is more around his actions and his words. Speaking admiringly of Hitler. And quite frankly, this is not the first time that he has spoken approvingly of Nazis. In fact, 6 years ago, as I was first entering into my first congressional race.
Just stop a little bit there, Henry. Dope alert here. You dope. You uninformed dope who happens to be a congresswoman. Come on the show. We'll play you the full clip. We'll talk what Snopes said. And then we'll see if this dope can give this line up. I don't think that she's doing this, that she knows that she's lying. I think she's a dope. Continue.
He had said at Charlottesville with Nazis on one side who were chanting, "Jews will not replace us," that there were good people on both sides. So this is not new for Donald Trump. He's spoken approvingly of Putin, Vladimir Putin. He's spoken approvingly of President for Life Xi and Viktor Orban of Hungary, another fascist. So I think what should concern the American people is not a label, but rather what would Donald Trump do should he ever be in power again? And he's shown us in the past that he did not want to leave despite a Democratic election the last time he was president. And I think now with what he knows, it would be very, very difficult should he ever get into the White House again to run a really fair election without him doing everything he can to undermine it.
When in the world are the media types, this I think was CNN, going to say, well, you know, I get your point, but you know, that's been debunked. That's not what he said about Charlottesville. Once Democrats get something, no matter how fraudulent it is, the media gives a pass forever. All right. The great Linda Kearns is with us next to talk about the experience of voting with a twist. I'll ask her about this Shore system and related matters. 1 o'clock today, big guests, big interviews. Al Schmidt, the man running Pennsylvania's election, which arguably is the most important in our lifetime, right here in Pennsylvania, will be with us. And I've taken your questions and a bunch of other people. And I am going to ask him, what do we know now happened to this Shore system today? All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. That's the way that you get in. For years, I've talked about the health benefits of Rescue Natural Supplements after making their omega-3s a part of my daily routine. From supporting heart health to providing pain relief, they provide essential nutrients that impact our bodies in so many great ways. Listen to this recent comment from Carol. She says triglycerides are at an all-time low, and pain and muscle aches, they've decreased too. People like Carol have trusted Rescue with their health goals, and now it's your turn. For a limited time, use the code OMEGA50 for an exclusive buy one, get one free offer on any of the 7 Rescue Omega-3 choices. To get this special radio offer, call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483, or use the code online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Remember, use that code OMEGA50, OMEGA50. Buy one, get another. Rescue Omega-3, absolutely free. All right, it is Dom time. Big issues, big guest. Al Schmidt, Secretary of State, here at 1 o'clock. What a day to have him. But first, we have Linda Kearns, who is in charge of voter security, voter integrity for the Trump campaign across Pennsylvania, and had her own experience voting in person with her ballot yesterday in Philadelphia. Linda joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Linda, welcome back.
Hi, Dom. Thank you for having me back. And it looks like the Shore system in Pennsylvania is back up. That's the reports that we're getting. Yes. So I wanted your listeners to know that.
Yeah, the commissioner out in Chester County verified that, Linda. But what is this strike in your mind then when you hear something like this, this is apocalypse now. If it happens on election day, he said, not really, it wouldn't be connected to the vote that day. But I can just imagine what people will be thinking if that happens.
Right. So the SHORE system, those initials stand for the Statewide Uniform Registry of Electors. And the word elector is another word for voters in Pennsylvania.
Right.
So it is the computer system that holds everything. You can go on, or they can go on it, and they can find out, you know, how many times I voted, what my address is and so forth, and whether or not I requested a mail ballot. So all of that information is downloaded to the poll books in all 67 counties and all of the polling places. Some of our polling places in Pennsylvania have electronic poll books, and some of them have paper poll books. And each polling place will be operating independently. So if the SHORE system is down during that day, it's not going to affect what's happening with the people who are voting in the election district. So people really don't have to worry about that. If it goes down later in the night, there might be a little bit of delay in reporting all the results to the Secretary of State, but it's not going to affect voting on election day.
Well, what it does is it triggers the thoughts of all the machinations of things that could go wrong here. And I'm going to ask Al Schmidt, what is their backup plan? Do they have redundancy? The redundancy, what do you think?
No, I do think that in general that states do have redundancies for these types of issues. But yeah, I think that's a great question to ask Commissioner Schmidt, or excuse me, Secretary Schmidt.
Yeah.
I make that mistake a lot,
yeah.
I guess, because he's in Philadelphia for so long. But I do want you to know that we at the RNC, we have so many people out in the field. We knew about this right away. We were immediately in contact with all of the appropriate authorities and found out that apparently it went down today from 9:45 to 11:15. It apparently affected select counties, and it was the network that underlies the SHORE system. So because we have so many people out in the field, because we've trained so many people, they've called us, and then we immediately called to the counties and had contact with all the appropriate authorities. So we were immediately on that. So I really want to thank the voters, because it's so helpful when we hear that from the voters so we can look into it. And we do run down everything that happens.
I know that you do. Before we get to your experience voting in person, Wally Zimmelong, who you probably know in some way, shape, or form, I'm guessing, is going to be on with an update in the 2 o'clock hour, Linda, because he's suing around the Mr. Softy truck, not attached to the SHORE system, just going out there and winging it on their own and going to the county prison tomorrow.
Right. So that's not connected to the Republican National Committee. So
no, I know it's not.
Yeah,
I'm just.
Right.
What are your thoughts, though? Look, this guy's pushing the envelope out of Montgomery County. And again, we want to say no misinformation, no disinformation, all that stuff. We want to be on board. You're on board with it. I am. You got to stop pushing stuff like this in our face, though, which appears to be legally questionable.
Right. So I actually did look that up.
Okay.
I looked up, I had our data team look up how many of the people with addresses at that center actually requested ballots, because that would be in the SHORE system, and we get downloads from the SHORE system. And as of when I looked it up, which was, I think I did it yesterday, it was only two ballots. So it might be more as of today. But the point is that sometimes these things get a lot of play on Twitter and social media, and it turns out it's not as big of a deal as you know, it seems to be when it's on social media. And I just want to remind voters of that. Of course, the commissioner should not be going to a select place and favoring those voters over another. And I actually, on behalf of the Republican National Committee, had written to the commissioner saying there's a lot of VFW halls in Montgomery County. That would be a great place. If you're going to go seek out and help voters and go to where they are, why not go to a VFW hall and help our proud veterans? So we at the Republican National Committee have been following up on that and putting pressure on him. And we also sued when it was apparent that they did not do the proper testing of the mail ballots prior to sending them out on prior to opening voting on September 17th, when that commissioner did it. And what we found out and what they admitted was that they had tested a ballot 6 days before the Secretary of State certified that ballot. So they were basically guessing on what they were testing. So we follow up on everything at the Republican National Committee, and we are holding these election officials accountable, because we're here on not only just on behalf of President Donald J. Trump and all of the candidates, but all of our voters. We're here to protect the vote, and that's why our website is called protectthevote.com.
Linda, your experience then. So you're voting by mail, but you're doing it in person, which several people have recommended as more foolproof. And you've talked about, look, you can go to one of these offices, but don't think you're just going to walk in, walk out 5 minutes, and you're going to do your mail-in ballot. It's going to be a little bit longer than that, certainly. But if you get your mail-in ballot, then take it there. That's probably the most convenient way to do this.
Right. And let me just explain how I did it yesterday. I'm a resident of Philadelphia, so you can go to swampthevote.com, which is our website, and there's a choice there. You can say early vote. I think it's the early voting site. So you can put in your address, and our website will tell you where all of the offices are. Now, if you're in a smaller county, there's only going to be one office. But I had the choice of a couple different offices near my house. One was the City Hall, and one was in South Philly, and another one was in West Philly. So I was actually at City Hall yesterday for court, and there looked like there was a lot of people that were going into that office, and I didn't want to wait in line. So I went to the one in South Philly. It's at like 18 something South Broad Street. So I just
walked
in. Wait
a minute. Did you park in the middle of Broad Street?
No,
that vote doesn't count. That vote doesn't count.
I actually took an Uber, and the Uber driver saw my jacket where I proudly wear a Trump Vance button, and he said, yeah, I'm voting for him and all my friends are. So that was really great to hear. But I went to the site, and someone let me in, and then there was a counter there, and they actually handed me the paper mail-in ballot application. So I sat, and they give you a clipboard, and I filled it out just as if I would have done it if I was at my own home. I handed it back to them, and then they, at that location, they had five people set up with the computers. So I went to one of the stations. She had to enter my information in the SURE system, the Statewide Uniform Registry of Electors, because she had to make sure that I hadn't, you know, gotten a ballot yet, and she had to put in there that I was getting a ballot. She gave me then the secrecy envelope and the outside envelope, and then she had to go and print my ballot, because everyone's ballot is a little bit different depending on where you live, because we have different down ballot candidates. So once she printed that out, she showed me they had a place where you could vote privately, these like desks. And I filled in all of the circles. She actually was very helpful and showed me how to fill in the circles, but I obviously know how to do it. I filled in the circles for my choices, proudly voted for President Donald J. Trump. Then I folded it. I folded the ballot, put it in the secrecy envelope, sealed the secrecy envelope, put the secrecy envelope back in the outer envelope, signed and dated the outside, and then I brought it back to the front desk, and the woman there looked at it just to make sure that I had signed and dated it, because I think what they're trying to do is prevent anyone from, you know, forgetting to sign or forgetting to date. And then there's a drop box right outside the office with two huge cameras on it, and this thing was solid. And I put it in there, and she said that they get picked up, and then they go back to the elections office, and it will get canvassed and counted starting on election day. And then almost immediately, because I put my email address on the application, I received a confirmation that I had requested an absentee ballot. So that's how the entire process worked. But people need to realize it might not be instantaneous. There might be a line. Sometimes the computer system's slow, because if it's just a time when everyone in the whole state is working on it, it could be a little slow. So it's not an instantaneous process, but totally well worth it, because now they have my vote. The campaign doesn't have to text me anymore and remind me to vote, and we can use those resources for somebody else to get a low propensity voter.
Exactly. Which, Linda, I saw a report, I have it here somewhere, where we're striking gold there, because the Trump people are doing better on low propensity voters, this study indicates, than Democrats in the swing states. That's exactly what the play is. That's what we're going for.
Right. And I've talked to you on my show about what a great leader Chairman Whatley has been. And our our the section of the campaign that does that, the Trump Force 47, yeah. I'm on a lot of their training calls because I go on those training calls just to answer the voters' questions because mm-hmm. I want our voters and volunteers to know that we have a legal staff working to protect the vote. And that is just such a great program. And our data team has focused on who is, you know, a low propensity voter who needs extra encouragement to vote. And we have recruited these volunteers through Trump Force 47, and they personally encourage these people to vote, and it is absolutely paying off. It is not just a random, oh, go knock on doors and bother right. people. This is a very targeted exactly. operation, and it's paying off. And I think also what's also paying off is what Donald J. Trump represents. I mean, we know that he's going to get into office and he's going to make America great again. And we know that all of these problems that are affecting Pennsylvanians, inflation, the problem with the border, crime, we know that those will be his focus. So I think that his campaign, along with our very, very comprehensive election integrity efforts, is just showing people that they can have faith in the process and get out there and vote for Donald J. Trump.
Exactly. Linda, thank you. Give us where to go again. Protect the vote.
You can go to protectthevote.com if you need to report anything. So if you go to one of those offices and it's down, report it to us. I mean,
exactly.
we probably will know, but we'll get right on it. And if you need to know how to get to one of those offices, how to request a ballot, go to swampthevote.com. And remember, you must request your mail-in ballot by October 29th. So don't wait till those last 2 days. They're going to be really busy. Do it today. Do it tomorrow. Find a satellite office open on Saturday. Find an office open on Saturday, but do it now so that because there's going to be crowds on Monday and Tuesday. So get it in. Go get your request in now, and then you're done, and your vote's all in for President Donald J. Trump.
Thank you, Linda, very much. Yeah, Scott Presler texting me that right away. Dom, make sure you tell that from Al Schmidt, from Scott Presler. Al Schmidt about 11 minutes away, but who's counting here with a lot of questions. Hey, enjoy all the NFL action with a chance to win on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New customers, you can bet $5 to get $300 in bonus bets if you win a bet on a game this week. Favorite features in the app, you have the Parlay Hub, which is unbelievable. Popular bets, the FanDuel Squares people really like. They're all there. Just visit FanDuel.com/Dom to make every moment more of this season. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHT. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You have to be 21 plus. Present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. It is Dom time. A little bit later after Al Schmidt, I just wanted to solidify this in my own mind. I'm going to tell you the story of this $10 million taxpayer-funded study by the woman who is in this country, the biggest architect of gender-affirming care, yada, 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 all that stuff. She won't publish it, apparently because it doesn't show a big uptick of help for kids that go with the puberty blockers. We're spending $10 million. Here's what's going to happen with this woman of taxpayer money. If in the Senate and the Congress, they don't say, we're taking that study, we're publishing it, lady, $10 million in taxpayer funding. You're going to start to hear a lot more about this in the next few days. And the reason she's not publicizing it, she says she doesn't want to get it weaponized because she knows exactly what you and I might say. There, we're going to put kids through this $10 million study. With the architect of this stuff, it doesn't give the answer she wants, so we're not going to show it. All right, coming up, we have to get Dan's on this thing with Nancy Grace, but we have Al Schmidt. I want to preserve every moment. Secretary of State of Pennsylvania on a big day here. He's next on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.